Good afternoon. As he said, I'm Guy Collins. I've historically been with the University of Georgia for the last 5 years, but as of yesterday, I'm now with NC State University. I'm really looking forward to that opportunity. It allows me to reconnect with some of my old friends and work with my mentor, Dr. Keith Emerson, and continue my work with the Extension Cotton Specialist Working Group, although it will be sad to leave my friends at UGA. I do want to acknowledge all the other co-authors that you see on this talk from across the belt. Most of them are members of the Extension Cotton Specialist Working Group, and there are a few others too, but a lot of the data that I'm going to share with you today is based on some of their work, and this is a collaborative effort across the entire cotton belt, so I want to acknowledge them too. All right, to begin with, and many of you know this, but varieties are released onto the marketplace in a very rapid manner these days, and that's the result of several different factors, including the fairly rapid adoption of newer herbicide technologies and traits, and insect-tolerant traits as well. We have seen increased competition amongst our seed companies, and that's a good thing because that tends to drive up yields and quality over time. And then we've seen improvements in breeding techniques to allow these advancements to occur a little more rapidly than say, 10, 15 years ago. So that leaves us in a position where we can't really evaluate varieties the way we used to in a timely manner. So this creates a need for a very robust variety performance evaluation program and some information so our growers can make those decisions as best as they can. We know that varieties need to be positioned in environments where they're going to perform their best and how they should be managed with irrigation and PGRs and other factors like that. So this program was really established to address this great need in our industry. I do want to point out that this program is supported by Cotton Incorporated through a partnership program amongst my colleagues from across the belt in Cotton Incorporated. This program and all the data you're going to see me talk about today is going to be available in the Seed Matrix database. And I'm not going to go in much detail with that, but I would encourage you to take a look at that website. It's a very unique tool to make variety performance comparisons from across the belt in a number of trials. All right, so with regard to variety selection considerations, I do think it's very important that our growers understand identify the most yield-limiting factor in a particular farm and field when making variety decisions. Now, that can be any number of factors, some of which may influence what variety we decide to plant in a particular field. It can be any number of things, but water is going to be the most common, as you would expect. But it could be weed control. In some situations, naturally, you would expect technology to be driving those variety decisions, where pigweed is out of hand or some other situation like that. Since the loss of Outacarb, we have seen an increase in some areas in issues with root knot nematodes. And now we do have some varieties that convey some tolerance to root knot nematodes. So if that is, in fact, the most yield-limiting factor in that particular field, you may see the grower select one of those varieties. I also think it's important to understand the environmental influence on variety performance. And I think it's very important that growers understand that when making field-to-field comparisons of variety performance. And just for illustration, and I'm using the Georgia trials from 2014, but in our lowest yielding trial that we had this past year in Georgia, the very best we could do in that particular situation was just over 530 pounds per acre. Okay, so when the environment limits yield potential, it's important to understand that the genetics can only go so far, and then the rest of the way the variety or the environment has got to support it. But if you compare that to the bottom variety in that particular trial, that was a difference of 122 pounds per acre. And in situations like that, that could mean the difference in making money or not. Now, conversely, on the other end of the spectrum, in high yield potential situations, all the varieties that we have on the market now can perform very well. You can see in the lowest yielding variety in the highest yielding trial that we had was still over 1,400 pounds. And I think every grower across the belt would accept that. But by choosing that variety, we would have left about 340 pounds per acre on the table, and that's a lot of money that could have been captured through proper variety decisions. So understanding the environmental influence on variety performance, I do think, is very important. Lastly, and most importantly, understanding the stability characteristics of varieties, I think, is the best predictor we have for how a variety is going to perform across a number of different factors, such as planting date, soil type, irrigation, rainfall pattern, so on and so forth. So keep in mind, every variety can win a trial, and every variety can lose a trial, but how often or frequently that variety performs at or near the top, it really gives us a good indicator for how stable that variety is and how well it can handle all of these various factors that I just discussed. All right, so this is probably going to be the most important slide that I show you, and in county meetings I illustrate this to growers, because variety decisions are one of the most important decisions a grower can make economically. And I want to direct your attention to the right side of that chart, but for each individual on-farm trial, what I do is go in and make a comparison, one that would suggest a large error in variety selection. So this is the cost per acre associated with improper variety selection. And then a small error. That small error is going to be the average of the top four varieties in each individual trial compared to the average of the middle four. A larger error is just comparing the top variety to the bottom variety. Now, none of these figures account for fiber quality, so this assumes no premiums and no discounts with these figures. But in these on-farm programs, we generally include the best varieties from each brand, at least for each individual state or region. So these figures could, in fact, be quite a bit larger if they were to choose an obsolete variety or another variety that we don't consider one of the best ones for the area. So the point I want to make is by making a large error in variety selection, so that's comparing the top versus the bottom, and again, I do this for each individual trial, that costs that producer $147 an acre. And that's more than the producer is going to spend on any other single agronomic input, like weed control, sometimes insect control, so on and so forth. But that's the kind of money that they could be leaving on the table by making a decision. Even for a small error of variety selection, so the grower missed it, but not by much, that still cost them $50 an acre. So these decisions are extremely important. So this program was established a couple of years ago and is really demonstrated the value across the belt. Essentially every state is participating in this program to some degree. And I'm going to talk about the data from each individual state a little bit later, but I do want to point out that growers should utilize every bit of variety information they can get their hands on, whether it's on-farm, large plot trials, or small plot OVT. Both serve different platforms, but a good purpose. So in on-farm trials, as I mentioned, generally we like to focus on the top-performing varieties in each region. But we use a small plot OVT a lot of times to base those decisions and see what advances to the on-farm program. Now, the on-farm trials are managed by growers on their farms in their fields, and that brings a lot of value to that because we can see what performance is in real-world situations. But one of the major strengths in on-farm trials is the number of environments we can effectively capture in a single year. And with varieties being released onto the market so rapidly now, this is really important because this is the only way we can get a good grasp of stability and learn some of the characteristics that we might not know in just one or two trials. Now, small plot OVT generally can accommodate a lot more varieties than what we can effectively fit into an on-farm trial. So there are other good varieties out there that may not be included in on-farm trials, and OVT is the appropriate platform for that. Depending on how OVT is managed, a lot of times we can compare yields without any regard to technology. So we can compare conventional varieties to some varieties with several traits. And especially for experimental varieties that may or may not be coming onto the market within a year or two, generally the first look we get at a variety is going to be an OVT. And we can see how that performance relates to on-farm and decide what advances into the on-farm trials. All right, so I'm going to go by state by state or region by region and highlight just some of the general performance data that we had, but I do want to point out that I'm only showing you the data that was available by December the 13th, just given my new transition back to North Carolina. And I do want to highlight that I'm only really going to report and focus on the varieties that were common to all trials in that particular state. Again, I want to acknowledge all of my counterparts that participated in this program, and you can see the cotton specialists for each individual state listed there for each region. This is the Southeast, which roughly represents about 2.6 million acres, the Mid-South, which represents about 1.4 million acres, and then the Southwestern states, collectively they represent about 5.6 million acres. All right, so starting in Virginia and North Carolina, combined over those two states, you can see the varieties that were common to a number of their trials there. The trials averaged anywhere from nearly 1,100 pounds all the way up to over 1,900 pounds this past year. It's a very good year for the Upper Southeast. Stoneville 4946 was in the top three in about 60% of those trials. NextGen 1511 was in the top three at about 80% of their trials, and then you had three or four that you can see listed below were in the top three at least 40% of the time. South Carolina, again, these varieties are that were common to all trials are listed there according to their combined average. These trials averaged anywhere from 880 to 1,370 pounds per acre. Phytogen 499 was in the top three in 50% of their trials, as was Delta Pine 0912 and Delta Pine 1050. And then you can see several listed there that were at least a quarter of the time they were in the top three as well. Combined over Georgia and Florida, these are the varieties that were common to all of those trials. These trials averaged anywhere from 445 pounds per acre up to 1,650 pounds. Phytogen 333 was in the top two, about 45% of these trials, and Delta Pine 1252 and Phytogen 499, just over a third of the time those varieties were within the top two. All right, so moving to the Mid-South, Missouri, and Arkansas, just four varieties that were common to all the trials across those two states. Trial averages range from 970 to 1,790 pounds per acre. Stoneville 4946 was the number one variety in over 60% of those trials amongst these four. Mississippi and Louisiana, Phytogen 333 was in the top two, 47% of the time. But Delta Pine 1137 showed a little bit higher degree of stability. Nearly 60% of the time it was in the top two. So if we look at just combined average and the overall ranking, that's not always correlated to the highest degree of stability. And then the Texas trials. There were two subsets in South Texas with different varieties in common. And some of them you'll see in both charts there. But in this first subset on the left side, the trials range from anywhere from 620 to nearly 2,500 pounds per acre. Phytogen 499 was in the top two, nearly 40% of those trials. Phytogen 333 and Stoneville 4946, anywhere from 22 to 28% of the time they were in the top two. All right, and this other subset where you see a larger list of varieties, those trials average anywhere from 603 to over 2,440 pounds per acre. Phytogen 499 was in the top three in 100% of those trials. And then you see Phytogen 333 and Stoneville 4946, over 60% of the time those varieties were within the top three. So I do want to mention there were other states that participated in this program. Again, I'm only sharing the data with you that was available by December 13th, and only the varieties that were in common. But you saw me mention the authors, the other co-authors on this a little earlier, so I do want to recognize that. But that information will all be shared in the Seed Matrix database. Again, I encourage you to take a look at that website. It's a really neat tool to make these comparisons. I do want to thank Cotton Incorporated for their support of this program that's going on across the entire belt. Our state commodity boards as well. And I want to also acknowledge our seed companies, our county agents, our cooperating growers, and our crop consultants. This program is a true testament of a combined, collaborative effort throughout the entire industry to generate this information for our growers. So I do want to acknowledge them as well. And lastly, the co-authors and the other members of the Extension Cotton Specialist Working Group, I want to acknowledge their efforts. So with that, I'll be happy to take any questions if we have time.
We got plenty of time for questions.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you, Guy.